Hello and welcome back to Watch Out a Movie Podcast. I'm Mitch.
I'm Harry.
And today we're going to do a bit of a special episode, something we've been meaning to do for a while. We're going to
It's experimental, if you will.
Experimental.
Just like a filmmaker.
So we are actually going to review the 17-minute short film by David Lynch, What Did Jack Do?, that released on Netflix in January this year, and Harrison hasn't seen it.
Nope.
And pretty much we're going to like watch it and then immediate response feedback for him. I watched it when it came out, but I'm very interested to
see. I know nothing.
Harrison knows nothing. And if you are a fan of David Lynch, I don't know if we've actually talked too much about David Lynch on the podcast. I feel like I've mentioned him a lot.
It hasn't been really an opportunity.
I don't think we've actually reviewed a movie of his, which is great because I love David Lynch. And he's not the kind of... He makes the kind of movies that are hard to wrap your head around.
To say the very least.
If you haven't... To say the very least. And let alone an almost immediate reaction like we're going to do for this with Harrison. I'm just curious to see what happens to your brain in the next 17 minutes.
All right. Let's do this. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
I'm excited for you.
We meet in a train station.
Now, listeners, it's time for you to watch the movie too. It's on Netflix and is only 17 minutes long. No excuses. Do it, you coward. Pause and come back once you are done.
Do you know anything about birds, Jack? Why do you ask?
Oh, Jesus. Is that David Lynch as the monkey?
I don't know. I think it is.
I'd like you to start talking turkey.
What?
So we got 12 minutes left of this.
I feel like there's 5 simultaneous conversations happening. Oh my god.
Okay, and we're back. We both just finished watching What Did Jack Do on Netflix now. So Harrison, thoughts?
You don't give me any time. The credits are still playing.
I told you it would be immediate.
That was a thing that happened.
Yep. So, just to give a quick initial summary, What Did Jack Do? Is set in a locked down train station. A homicide detective, played by David Lynch himself, interviews slash interrogates a tormented, talking capuchin monkey named Jack over a recent murder.
It's...
At least that's what I believe it is about. Harrison?
Yeah, okay, that's definitely what it is, kinda. The whole premise kinda sounds like a very modern, like, board game idea. You know what I mean? Like, it's that quirky...
Yeah. Like a weird kind of lying game, like bluffing type deal.
Yeah.
Almost like you're trying to figure out secret messages.
Yeah.
That you have to relay to each other. That's interesting. I was doing some reading about this earlier to, like, kind of refresh my mind on some talking points and stuff. And I found a Reddit post that described this movie as... a script generated by AI after being fed a bunch of interrogation scenes and then directed by David Lynch.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Also...
That's what it feels like.
Netflix genres, it labels it as crime movies and crime dramas.
Oh, I love this short. I just have a blast watching it. It's just like pure, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm watching type. Content. and I just have a blast. But like,
how long do you think this like concept took to come up with? Or
I was just thinking about that actually while we were rewatching it. Well, while I was rewatching it, I was thinking like, do you reckon this was a concept David Lynch had been brewing on for a while, or do you reckon it was literally just like he had a friend who had a monkey and he was like, I can make something with this?
Yeah. And then he banged out a script by putting it to an AI, and then he was like, yep, let's go. Filming it in an afternoon.
Let's go. And a great touch, I think, is that David Lynch, I believe, also voices the monkey.
I need to find out that. I think it is his mouth.
It has his same, like, accent. David Lynch has a very particular accent, if you haven't heard him speak. And I'm pretty sure it's him. The thing is, he is strictly, I believe, yeah, it's just David Lynch with an audio filter. But he's credited solely as Jack Cruz, the monkey. In the credits. Like, that's what he's listed as. And I love that. I love the monkey so much.
Also, IMDb has it as a 6.5 out of 10. But
I think this is.
But Rotten Tomatoes,
I don't think this is the kind of
has it as a 92%.
Yeah, good. I don't think this is the kind of movie that can be reviewed by like any standard kind of review practice.
No.
You know, like most David Lynch movies are kind of in this gonzo art house field that like. I think a negative I would put as on a review for any David Lynch movie is not for normies.
Oh, that is like, the most pretentious thing uttered in this podcast so far.
I know, but like, if you just chucked on a David Lynch movie without knowing what it is, I don't know how you're going to react to that. But to be honest, that's how most people get into David Lynch, so heck, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, true.
Everybody remembers the first time they watched, like, a David Lynch movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was Mulholland Drive.
Everyone remembers their first time.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mulholland Drive was mine first as well.
But the visual effects are also a bit strange, is another thing. Before we get into like trying to dissect this, the visual effects, how they portray the monkey talking, is literally just like, I don't know what you call that effect. They just like superimpose a mouth over the top of the monkey, and that's it. It's like a really crude effect.
There's a couple things it reminds me of. Old classic Rove Live used to do this a lot.
Yep. If you remember Rove Live, the late night Australian talk show, they used to do it all the time to like make fun of celebrities and stuff.
Or like the beginning of the SpongeBob opening.
Oh, that is exactly what it is. Are you ready, kids? Guy.
Yeah.
How they have these
yeah.
lips like superimposed over this painting. That's exactly like the effect they use for this monkey. But surprisingly, it actually looked okay some of the time.
I don't think it's ever supposed to look great.
I don't think it's gonna look normal, yeah. This is a regular issue with some David Lynch content, I think. Like, I noticed it a lot with the third season of Twin Peaks, and it's like, I don't know if it's just cheap or if it's intentional or some sort of like meta unsettling effect as a viewer to be weirdly thrown off by some strange effect that looks like a bad visual effect. I don't know if I'm just looking into it too much.
I think Lynch likes to draw attention to when a special effect is being made. There's something about his style that makes you aware that you're watching a movie. I think it's his intention. But, like, I'm looking at the thumbnail right now on Netflix, and, like, it looks pretty good, the effect. Like, the mouth, it looks a bit weird because it's clearly human lips.
Yeah.
But
they didn't just use the monkey in the art, in, like, the key art. It's, like, always with the lips. Oh, man. Oh, I said while we're watching it, it's, like, a weird Zootopia. Like, a fucked up Zootopia.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I guess we'll try and dissect this a little bit more now. Something that really interested me with this short is the way the characters talk is really offbeat. They don't talk like normal people back and forth. It's like really strange and confusing.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of alienating, but there's also this implication of a greater story, which this is merely a small part of, like a glimpse into this noir mystery. And this is just like a scene in a greater thing. And it's almost like they're talking in code with, like, they talk about like farm work and they make a reference to all these like actions and stuff.
Yeah.
In a way, it reminds me of Cats.
Oh.
Not going to talk about the movie, but there's a sense in Cats that the most interesting part about Cats, both the musical and the movie, is the kind of how it exists in a world of its own, like, fantasy fiction, with its own, like, language and terminology and, like, rules that are never really clearly portrayed to you, but it kind of establishes this greater sense of, like, fantasy. And there's a similar kind of, to this, for What Did Jack Do, there's a similar kind of feeling in this bizarre, noir,
sure,
grim world.
It kind of reminded me of Clockwork Orange, how they just, like, throw out words. But like, the dialogue kind of feels like they're using, like, rather than code, it feels like they're doing common sayings, but, like, one word wrong.
Yeah, that's why it's so alienating.
And it's just like, not what you're supposed to say.
It feels like they wrote a normal conversation, and then in every sentence, they changed it to be not quite right with every single response. It's like a domino effect that just gets weirder and harder to make sense of as it goes.
I also think at the start, you're like, what the fuck is happening? Because, like, I feel like it just kind of jumps right into it and, like, throws out all these plot points. And then you play catch up.
Yeah.
And it's such a bizarre experience.
It's really interesting. And it's the kind of shit that, like, you never see done in movies anymore. And it's like, it's why I'm glad to have directors like David Lynch fucking around with people.
At what point does this sort of thing start becoming a shitpost?
Yeah, so that actually kind of ties in with something I want to talk about later, but there's kind of like, so I mentioned before this allusion to a greater narrative that's like a snippet of a large tale and stuff. At the same time, I read through a review of it, and they made a reference to this movie as a parody of Wit. Like, how it just went on this whole tale, like, this whole explanation of this sense of fantasy and fiction and, like, establishing a greater world and, like, dialogue we don't understand, like, the implication of some grand, broader meaning. There could also be the complete opposite, like, complete less. This movie could just be David Lynch talking to a random monkey for the whole movie. It could just be a shitpost. And I think there's something interesting there. It's like, is this legitimately interesting, or is this actually just trash?
That's kind of just what modern art is, isn't it?
I guess. But this movie in particular, I think, is really interesting in that sense.
It's just so funny, because, like, this is something you could easily do in a weekend, edit everything, but it's just got that Lynchian touch that makes it at least somewhat interesting. Yep. And just the dialogue alone is just like how the characters don't respond to what weird things they're saying really, like, throws you off as an audience member, because you're like, okay, that was clearly something stupid or weird, you don't normally say that, and they don't respond to it, and you're like, wait, hold on.
There's a line where he says, I know why the chicken crossed the road,
and then it just starts a new just sentence,
like, it's just shit like that. It feels like everything they say is the start of a new sentence. And it's so cool. I love it. Something I rarely see people actually mention when talking about Lynch movies is his use of humor. David Lynch movies are often just, like, completely funny as hell. Twin Peaks Season 3, for instance, was essentially, like, an elaborate long-form joke up until the climax.
Oh, the climax, like, was the joke.
So funny. And just the whole storyline with
Dougie.
With Dougie. Like, I watched it. I've seen The Return Season 3 of Twin Peaks twice. I watched it when it was airing. I was just confused. I remember us watching it together and just being like, what the hell's going on? But then I watched it again when my housemate watched it. And I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much. I thought the second time watching it, I'd kind of like, I'd maybe see it fall apart a bit. But I actually had the complete opposite effect. And like, I fucking loved it so much. I loved it way more the second time. Because it's like, I can actually see. It felt kind of like the first time you watch it, it kind of feels like they're making it up as they go along. But watching it again, it seems like the whole thing is meticulously planned. Like, very meticulously paced and plotted. And it's so funny. Like, the second viewing, I could see, like, the grand joke of it all. And it was just hilarious. Dougie is outstanding. Like, oh my god. But yeah, and this movie is just funny as hell. Like, this short.
Yeah, it's got a
just David Lynch is a funny guy. There's just something inherently funny about him.
Is it just boomer shitposting?
It could be. It very much could be. This whole thing could be. Like, you could say that about a lot of David Lynch stuff, but this in particular, I think, might... It's actually, like, I can't tell. Like, is my brain rotted from watching all these Lynch art house movies and Twin Peaks and stuff to think that literally anything he makes is genius? Or is this just, like, him trying to pull the rug out from underneath us? And tricking our weird film snob brains.
But, like, on an entertainment level, because primarily film is entertainment. Yeah. This is great. It's 17 yeah. minutes yeah. of complete engagement of, what the hell is going on?
You can't look away, really.
No. Your eyes are just completely I guess, fixed on that monkey's mouth.
I guess we can go into spoiler town now.
I think the whole thing's spoiled, but yes.
So if you haven't watched What Did Jack Do?
Go watch it, I guess. Watch it.
If you have Netflix, it's like 16 minutes long. It's on Netflix, and it's just a wild ride.
What else are you going to do today?
I love know it. You got If you're a fan of David Lynch...
Just go watch it.
A lot of people did know it existed, honestly. Like, I'm pretty sure you didn't know until I told you about it. My housemate had no idea. And we're all big, like, David Lynch fans. Just no idea. Just, like, quietly. If I didn't see, like, a random news article about it, then I would have had no idea. I would have missed this completely and forever.
Netflix is kind of like that sometimes.
Netflix is weird. Like, I'm surprised that Netflix hasn't picked up that this is the shit I want to watch, and instead it's trying to get me to watch, like, Beastars and Tiger King again.
Well, it's got a 58% match on my Netflix account, and I think it should be higher, because I'm down for some more monkey business.
All right, so continuing the story.
So do you know what actually happened?
There's not much else to say. Except that, so the detective is interrogating Jack the Monkey over a murder. I realized when I wrote this that I actually forgot what happened in the end. But, essentially it's a murder over a character whose name we only learn in the last scene.
No, it's mentioned a couple times. It's Max, isn't it?
Max Grigg, I think, who's an unseen character who allegedly was murdered. And somehow intrinsically tied to this monkey's passionate love for a chicken named Tutatabon. Who, I don't know if they also died. I get the impression that they did. But the monkey is madly in love with this chicken. And the detective kind of uses that as like a leverage to try and get him to talk. And... eventually, somehow, he snaps and gets through to him. The monkey kind of cracks and sings a love ballad called The Flames of Love.
Jesus, I forgot about the love ballad.
You forgot about the song?
This is a giant experience where you're always playing catch up, and then you immediately go into a conversation. I'm still trying to process that was a monkey talking.
The whole time I was watching this with you, I was waiting for for the monkey line. Which is called Flames of Love by Jack Cruz, which is the name of the monkey, Jack Cruz, which is out now on Spotify. And
oh, what?
I unironically love this song. It's so there's something about it that's just really enchanting and like sweet. It's so weird, but I like it. I've listened to it every now and then. I had it stuck in my head for a while after I first watched it. It's great. So yeah, Tutataban, and then he calls out for Tutataban, who he sees in what I presume is a vision of some kind, like a delirious vision, and chases after the chicken, only for the detective to pull out his gun and call the police to arrest him off screen, and the sound fucking goes intense. And then it cuts to black, written and directed by David Lynch. So Harrison, what did Jack do?
What didn't he do?
That's what it should have been called. What didn't Jack do?
So was he under the investigation of the murder of Max or Tutataban?
I don't know. Definitely Max, and I think maybe Tutataban. But it's a bit mysterious and ambiguous. And again, this could just be complete shitposting. This movie could just be David Lynch talking to a rambling monkey who then bursts into song and runs away.
But, like, it also could have no definitive meaning. And, like, the joke is that we're trying to find a meaning in it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say before. But, on another sense, a lot of Lynch movies kind of have this, like, primal essence to them. I see a lot of his movies usually have these actually relatively simple storylines when, like, through and through. But they're deeply set with metaphor and allegories of, like, human depravity. And I think that connects to this movie. Maybe there's something to do with, like, human and, like, animal. And yet this story is such a familiar one kind of deal. Like, it's a simple story. It's about a guy who killed another guy. Some kind of implication of, like, crime families or mental health and, like, lost love. But it's, like, a very human story. In that sense, it's just enacted with animals. And there could be just some sort of, I don't know, animalistic meaning, the nature of humanity kind of thing going on there. Or it could just be a movie where David Lynch talks to a talking monkey who sings and then runs away screaming.
I'm going to go with the second one. Lock it in. Do you think that... I reckon this movie would still, like, work for me if it was just another person and this dialogue was the same and the love song, like, all the beats were the same.
Yeah,
it
would.
It'd still work just because, like, you'd still be like, what?
Why does it being a monkey have so much impact?
It's because it's lol random.
Oh, is it, Harrison?
Yes.
Or is this just the opus of insane creative mastermind David Lynch?
Or he got this spot at a like a museum and he's like, oh, I know what I'll do.
I gotta put something up.
Wait, I got a mate that's got a monkey.
It's interesting to think that I believe this is the most recent David Lynch project.
It makes sense.
I wonder if David Lynch is up to anything.
Have you?
I think he is actually working on something. That's interesting.
He's gonna feed his woodpecker family.
Yeah, David Lynch loves just dropping off the face of the earth for a decade and then suddenly coming back.
Have you seen that video of him talking about his sons, where he's just in a living room and he's just got 6 Woody Woodpecker dolls and he talks to them like they're his sons or something?
I have not. You told me about this before and I forgot, but I meant to look that up.
He's got a great sense of humor.
He does. I would be so fascinated to, like, meet David Lynch or listen to people, like, talk about him, because is this what he's like full time? I get the impression it is. I get, like, this isn't a facade. Like, he's not going out of his way, at least from the outset, to be, like, a weirdo and, like, make weird auteur shit. this just seems like the stuff that comes so seamlessly out of his mind. Like, it reminds me of, like, the Studio Ghibli director Hayao Miyazaki. And if you see footage of him behind the scenes, like, he doesn't write screenplays. Like, his works, like Spirited Away and like Howl's Moving Castle and Princess Mononoke, they just like come straight out of his head. He writes it as storyboards and then turns that into an animation, and the dialogue and all that comes later. Like, it just flows right out of him. And I think it's like a similar thing with David Lynch.
Could be.
Or he's a true auteur.
Or he just throws things at the wall and works out how they stick together.
Yeah, like he made a Eraserhead and then realized, like, everybody thinks I'm some auteur artist now. I can make anything and it'll get like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes and critical universal acclaim.
If I literally make a movie about a talking monkey, I'll get all the praise.
All the praise. People won't stop podcasting about it.
We're part of the problem.
We are. At the same time, though, the reason why I'm always happy to do special little episodes like this is that I'm pretty sure nobody saw this.
No.
Like I said before, I don't think I've heard anybody talk about this movie. And I just wanted to get a word out. It's just a good watch.
I know we've been talking about it for like the last 30 minutes as a movie, but I do have a problem with the word movie and what would Jack do?
Short film.
Yeah.
Art exhibit. Art piece.
YouTube poop.
Yep. Shit post. Generated by a machine. It wasn't, but it feels like it sometimes.
I feel like there's like feels seven like meme formats raring to go in this and no one's used them.
I know, it's because nobody's watched it. This is ripe meme material, I think. There's some good potential there. I'm going to try and remember that. Maybe we'll come up some good, what did Jack do monkey memes. There's something there.
There's something there.
I love the lines of dialogue in this movie. Just like some of the phrases that come out of their mouth. Like some of the quotes. I can't remember them off the top of my head because it was literally just like a barrage.
Yeah, that's...
The entire like middle 10 minutes of the movie is just these two going back and forth and back and forth just saying weird shit to each other.
That's the thing. Like, I can't quote it right now. Because A, I'm shell-shocked. And B, because you're like, you're... barrage with so many, by the time you've registered how funny one was, it's gone because now there's 10 more in your head.
Yep. It's an overwhelming movie or short film.
Yeah. What a weird thing that you put for me through. But I enjoyed it, I think. I'm not sure. I think so.
I'm trying to read up on the history of this short, and he mentioned it. I think this was a long-running idea that he had. He was interviewed in 2014 at an art exhibit, and he said he was working on a monkey film. Not a chimpanzee, it's a monkey from South America. And then, 2014.
Do you think the only reason it took 6 years is because he was like, I need to get it perfect?
Yeah, I think it did. This actually released, I believe, in 2017 in like this art exhibit. I cannot even pronounce the name. Somewhere in Paris. And then it only just now, like, it was I don't know what happened like in between then and now, but it just apparently came to Netflix. I think actually, oh, that's nice. It was released January 20, 2020. Which was David Lynch's 74th birthday. So I think it was kind of a tribute by Netflix to David Lynch.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nice. And I think this is the perfect movie to, I don't know, air on your birthday party.
Yeah, look, my next birthday party is going to be What Did Jack Do themed.
Nobody is allowed to speak in coherent sentences or they're at the door. And there's a chicken.
Yep.
Just running around.
Or is
to Tatabon. I love it so much. I just had such a blast with this movie. I don't know if I have much else more to
say. Well, we've talked about it much longer than the actual runtime.
Yeah, I think that was the goal, and I think we've succeeded. Like, I'm pretty happy to wrap up at this point.
Tutanaba!
Any final thoughts?